This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Susie Rong?
Hi, Warren. You know, this week's movie involves someone going back to their hometown, and it reminds me of a guilty pleasure I have of looking at social media photos of people I went to school with that I used to envy a lot.
Really? Oh, tell us. So when you say you used to envy them, do you envy them now?
I look for the ones that I no longer envy.
So you selectively go and look at their social media. Do you get, Susie, do you get pleasure out of seeing what they're doing now? Do you feel good? Do you feel like
I get a lot of pleasure over seeing how well I have aged
and how miserable
in comparison.
They are.
That's right.
That's funny.
It makes me think, oh, look, one of the good things about having no kids is that you look about 10 years younger than your peers.
That's quite funny. Do you ever go back to, or have you ever been to any school reunions or anything like that?
No, it's never timed that way. Like, I wouldn't kind of time my trip with that. And as far as I know, it's happened, maybe they've had a reunion 3 or 4 times, and it's always like, you know, not when I'm back there, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I have seen photographs.
How do they look? Be honest. How do they look? Come on, tell us. Enjoy.
There are a few people who look okay, but most of them look, you know, worse for wear. But I can understand. Those people, you know, did all the right things, all the things you're supposed to do, get the right jobs, you know, get married early, have I don't know how many kids, and get a mortgage at, like, you know, you're not even 30. So it wears you down.
I love that, Susie. I haven't been to any school reunions. Apparently they have them. I don't get invited for some reason. I think because I'm not on social media, maybe I don't get the invites. But I'm only in contact, I think, with about 2 or 3 people from my primary school days, and that's it, really. No one from high
school. You should just go and see how old they've become.
Really?
Yeah.
I think maybe this is a new beauty product that Susie Rong could... Susie Rong could sell. We saw you recently. You were in that, I've forgotten the name of the show that you were in, where you were the...
Optics.
Yeah, Optics. You were the wellness person.
Guru.
The wellness. Maybe that's your calling.
Well, I just tell people not to have kids. Yeah. Is that the only advice I've got?
Well, go back and see them. What would you say if you did go to one of the reunions? I reckon that'd be funny as.
I think so.
You wouldn't be able to hide it.
I don't know. Obviously, it's very different in person versus pictures. Pictures, you can be a lot more vicious. And, you know, it's a guilty pleasure.
I have to admit, Susie, now that you've brought it up, I did one of the bullies from high school. I did run into in a shopping centre. When I say run into, you know, I didn't talk to them, but I recognised them, and I was pretty sure it was him. And I did kind of... feel a bit satisfied afterwards. I thought,
Yeah.
There is justice
no hair
after all.
And a huge gut. Is that what you saw?
Not necessarily physical, but just saw them. I just got that feeling that they weren't happy. And I thought, oh, good. But it's not not nice to feel that way, though, is it? I mean, that's
not it's not nice. It's not nice. Don't do it.
No, I'm not going to do it anymore. Susie, today we're talking about a show. It is called Close to You. It's on a different streaming service.
Yeah. After 4 years being estranged from his family, during which he negotiates gender transition in private, Sam is now heading home for his father's birthday. Full of trepidation, he boards a train from Toronto to the quiet town of Cobourg, Ontario. And to his surprise, his ex-girlfriend Catherine is in the same car, and we see almost immediately a strong connection between the two, even though Catherine is now married with children. When Sam arrives home, we are relieved to see that his family being warm and loving, except for a sister's boyfriend, who later in the movie reveals his awful transphobia. Streaming on the free platform Tubi is close to you, starring the incredibly talented Elliot Page, who has himself gone through a transition in the public eye over these last 5 years. Close to You is an emotionally rich experience written and directed by Dominic Savage with extraordinary sensitivity. Although restrained in how it tells Sam's story, the film proves to be mesmerizing, made very special by a wonderful cast of actors. The chemistry between Sam and his ex, played by Hilary Back, is quite a thing to behold. Close to You is made up of the simplest ideas, but everything is put together perfectly. I found the performances very moving and very inspiring. The movie made me think of my own process of coming out and going home, how there are similarities and differences, and how it is important to remember that trans experiences are never the same, even though we share commonalities. Close to You bears a striking naturalism that makes it especially valuable. Even though the emotions are always very big, most of the film is not particularly dramatic, which I think is a healthy way to frame trans stories. Warren, I was very surprised by the impact of this movie. How did you respond to it?
Do you know what? Sam's journey back home after transitioning, I mean, he explored that tension between, I suppose, who he is now and the expectations of his past, as in the family home he left behind. But did you feel that Sam's return home, Susie, was more about reclaiming who he is or about seeking the family approval? Because I found that a little bit difficult to distinguish. What did you think there? Was it about getting approval from his family or was it about reclaiming who he was?
To me, it was about reconnecting because transitions can be very lonely. Living trans lives can be very lonely and, you know, especially in the early stages where you're going to experience a lot of, a lot of people ostracizing you and kind of, you know, there's a lot of confrontation there. So you kind of shut yourself out a little bit. And then, but if you're strong enough, this kind of process of reconnecting is really important. It's very difficult, as we can see in the movie.
Sam's mum keeps slipping up in the movie, calling him her. How did that strike you? Because, it's a slip up as such, isn't it? And we often don't necessarily see the parents' perspective as much. I found that quite fascinating. I mean, it was much, much less painful than, say, the outright hostility of his brother-in-law that was just horrible. But how did you feel when you were seeing the mum slip up?
Look, I think people misgendering you, I don't let those things get to me very much, especially if they're people that I see occasionally. Mm. It took a while for my family to kind of change the pronouns, and I think they probably are still slipping up. I probably don't notice it very much, but I only see them, you know, a short time once a year, so I don't kind of have any discussions around that. Now, those scenes with the mother are very powerful. I thought she talked a lot about losing the daughter. And I think because the performance is so strong, it made it it made me listen to her closely. And it contrasts really interestingly with Sam bumping into the old girlfriend who doesn't see a different person, right? The girlfriend looks at Sam and thinks that, oh, you've changed a little bit. But at home, especially with the mother, the mother's like mourning the death of someone. I thought that difference between the two made me think quite a bit.
Do you think that's a mistake that a lot of us make when it comes to trans people? Do you think that a lot of us think, oh, okay, it's a different person, when in fact it's actually not? It's just the same person being themselves. Do you think that's something that we fall into, that trap?
Maybe that's why we feel like, you know, why do people make such a big deal? Because it's just the same person. Mm. But like in the movie, I can see how the portrayal of the mother character is showing, you know, from that perspective. And, you know, much as it confuses me, because I feel like, it's still the same person, but the extremity of emotion that the mother feels as though they've lost a child, you know, it's valid. You know, it's weird. It's weird for people like us who have gone through the transition, but it is a valid sort of response. And, I did spend quite a few moments thinking about that. You know, and there's this thing where you kind of, you don't understand, but you can see that what the person is going through, what the person feels is real. And, you know, you kind of have to give them a bit of that grace.
Do you think, so I guess my question where I'm leading to, Susie, is where do we kind of meet in where do we meet? If we're a parent and we do feel like we've lost someone and we're the kid and we're thinking, you know what, I'm just me, I've always been me. When you have that scenario happen, how do you, without being so, about, no, you have to accept me as I am now, or, well, actually, you know, I've lost my kid, you need to understand. Where does it meet? Where do you meet to
I think you're going to give them a bit of space, but you don't want to overburden yourself. Mm. It is a journey that they have to take. And I think, you know, people always forget, you know, whether you're coming out as gay or as trans. You have had a really long journey to get to that point, right? Usually we take years, if not decades, absolutely, to get to that point of being able to come out. And sometimes you see people expect their loved ones to come to terms with things overnight, and I think that's highly improbable. So I think giving them the time and space is necessary. Having that, giving them that grace, but definitely don't take on more than you need to.
Did you feel that, have you had experiences like, say, with, say, Sam's mum, and also with friends that have just been like, oh yeah, Susie, it's you. So what? What's your experience?
I think my friends have always, I don't think my friends have seen me become a different person. You know, there would be a time when the name has changed and their pronouns have changed, and that was a bit tricky, but I don't feel like they've had to go through, very many kind of psychological acrobatics to kind of get used to me, transitioning. For family, somehow seems to be a much bigger deal, which I think that the film represents well. Still, I'm watching it, I'm still thinking, like, what's the big deal?
But it's true that there's different perspectives, I suppose, isn't there? And Sam's life in Toronto gave him room to breathe, to be himself, and yet returning back home brings back that suffocation, that expectations, that, you know, it's a contrast, I suppose, that's made all the more potent by that quiet, tense stillness throughout the whole movie itself. But there is a weight, isn't there, in that small town gaze that is quite oppressive. Don't you think?
I think so. I think the film does really well in showing a very open, probably very liberal family that Sam came from. And yet, we see a lot of acceptance or a lot of, kind of effort put into making Sam feel welcome in his return. And, I like it. I like it being framed that way because it makes you see that the torment that Sam had experienced before coming up, and they refer to it quite a lot about kind of Sam's prolonged, experiences of depression, before coming out. And I liked being able to see that it was all in Sam's head. Not all in Sam's head, that a lot of it was in Sam's head, that if he was able to bring himself to communicate that better with his family, he would have had a support system. It looked to me that way. I like that that was how the story was told, that the pressure wasn't coming from his family, that it was, a lot of it was coming from himself. And I think that's the truth. I think a lot of trans people struggle with, you know, a kind of weird transphobia. Like when we see trans people, other trans people, when we were tiny, like when we were children, it scares us to the core because we know that that's the truth. And we can identify, oh, that trans person is like me. And we are terrified because we can identify the challenges that that person has had to go through. And we are terrified of putting ourselves in the same circumstances. So a lot of the difficulty, you know, I think Sam and I share this in common, that we were afraid. We were so afraid of everything from within our own imagination of what that process is going to look like. And in his case, I think you can see that. You can see that his parents were not going to make it too hard for him.
Susie, just that's really powerful hearing that. I mean, I'm not trans, so I don't know how it feels, but I would imagine thinking that, oh my goodness, this is what I have to go through to be myself would be quite scary.
Yeah. And a lot of the trans people that you identified as a child, the reason why you can identify them is because they don't look cis, right? They don't look cisgender. So as a child, you think, oh no, that looks a bit freaky. I don't want to grow up and look like that. Mm. So all that makes it so extra hard. And no one's kind of telling you all these details, but you're just kind of young child's observation of the world and understanding, I guess, of how trans people are going to be treated. Yeah.
So, Susie, given that projection of you don't want to end up looking, well, that feeling of what you don't want to be, but you feel like that's the only way, does that the cost of staying and just being as you are, is that so bad that therefore you deal with those negative thoughts and think, no, you know what, this isn't worth it, I'm going to do it?
Well, for me, I think you just develop a really thick skin, and a lot of it becomes really second nature. And then occasionally you will notice that, oh, I've got to deal with this thing that other people don't have to deal with, and it comes so natural to me. And in those moments, you kind of think, oh, that's a lot of energy that I'm expending on this thing that other people don't have to, and therefore it puts me in a disadvantage, you know, like, you know, my life could be a lot freer. You know, like going back to how we started this conversation about my envy of people at school. I could identify that they had, you know, their futures were bright. You know, they didn't have the obstacles that I needed to face, and they had the freedom to kind of just go and live their lives. But I identified early on that I don't have the same kinds of freedom. But you know, eventually it took time. It took a lot of work, and you just kind of carve out a way of living that, you know, although it includes a lot of compromise, you have ways of experiencing joy, pleasure, and freedom.
Susie, we spoke in the studio yesterday. I had Abby from the Rainbow Shoelace Project in the studio, and Abby was bullied at a high school in Broken Hill and, of course, as a result, had to move and started up the Rainbow Shoelace Project, which is the project where you put those little coloured beads on your shoes, because people are always looking down, and if you notice someone wearing these beads might make you feel a little bit safer or a little bit more welcome. Such a beautiful project and a really important conversation. But one of the things we spoke about, which I think ties in with what you're saying, Susie, is the cost of being bullied, the cost that it has on your education, on your potential. And we've spoken about it too. And it's true, isn't it, Susie? This, if you're spending all this time fighting all these other thoughts and finding out who you are and fighting the homophobia and the bullying, etc., compared to those that you're looking back at here, Susie, they've got it easy. They don't have to deal with these things.
They've got it easy. I think that there's a lot of burden that we carry as queer children that I feel like it's almost like wasted energy, because it is a lot of energy kind of going into a dealing with queerness. But on the other hand, we've had this discussion, you and I, about our resilience and our resourcefulness.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of, we are able to look at things from different perspectives, and we have, you know, we have ways of dealing with difficulty and hardship that I think other people don't necessarily have. So, you know, I do see a positive side to it.
Susie, one last question for you. Much of the film centres around Sam's identity. We're talking about the film Close to You, which you can stream now. Susie, one of the, you know, it centres around Sam's identity in relation to his family and past, which inevitably draws focus to his transition. Many critics and audiences are asking whether when trans stories will be ready to be, not necessarily be centred around the transition, but rather show trans people in stories of joy, romance, friendship and adventure where being trans isn't the sole defining feature. Do you think we're at that moment?
We are approaching that moment, but not yet. The gay and lesbian film has only very recently appeared, right? We've only started the last 2 years, maybe, that we are reviewing stories about gay and lesbian people and not about them coming out and not about that, you know? It takes such a long time. It takes decades. In this moment of the trans experience, there is so much kind of people hitting back at our appeal to broader society for acceptance, because we are becoming more prominent in the media. There's so much discomfort. I don't know how much of the discomfort is real, because a lot of it feels like political attacks from the other side. But nonetheless, these attacks are real. So it does slow the progress down a little bit. So I guess for the near future, it is still a lot about, the whole experience of transitioning. Every now and then we see characters, smaller characters, where we are trans and we are not talking about transitioning, and that is good. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen when we are kind of smaller characters.
Susie Rong, what are we watching next week?
Next week, a listener recommendation. Ooh. Reverse for You on Netflix follows two high school girls in Thailand who mysteriously swap bodies and, in navigating each other's lives, discover an unexpected queer romance. Sounds like great fun. That's Reverse for You on Netflix, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.